It's 10 o'clock. It's Thursday morning. That means it's time for another podcast of Tom and Shane. And Mike McCormick joins us this morning. Tom Eaglehoff in Bozeman, Montana. Shane and Tom and Half Man, Half Amazing in Kamloops, Canada. Mike McCormick, Money Guru, McCormick Financial Advisors is in the house. And before we get started, gentlemen, I got to talk about, hey, you got to subscribe. Come on, it's painless. It's painless, it's greaseless, it's odorless, it's smokeless. All you got to do is hit the subscribe button, ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified whenever we have a new podcast. And if you like support us monetarily, Patreon is the way to do it. There's a link in the description below. We've got a lot of perks for you if you will support us, because there are some costs in putting this on the air. And we're also brought to you by Streamline, and this is how easy it is. You can have guests, you can do interviews, you can make your own videos. It's pretty cool. And our topic this morning is Musk, markets, and money. Musk, markets, and money. But also, before we get to that, we have to do Mikey's disclaimer. So
that's catchy. Thanks for staying with us.
Here that comes right now.
Welcome to Preserving Your Wealth with Mike McCormick, where we talk about smart ways to invest and preserve your money. Mike is a registered investment advisor with McCormick Financial Advisors in Bozeman, Montana. As an independent fiduciary, Mike does not receive commissions from any of the products or investments mentioned on this program. Consult a professional before making any investment decision. You can find old shows archived at McCormickFinancialAdvisors.com. Learn, participate, interact at 406-522-3201.
All right. We got all the legal stuff out of the way, Mikey. So. All right. Well, March ended the market for the first quarter. Mike, what do you think?
Hey, thanks so much for having me here. It's great to be back with you guys, and happy 2022 for the people that I haven't visited with in a while. Wow. Wow, it's happened. I mean, it's one of those things that when you least expect it. No, we sort of expected that we were going to have a pullback. And then on top of it, we had a cataclysm of events. And so we're in historic times, I do believe. Now, that said, I think that had you structured your portfolio the way that we always talk about, where you've got diversification, low debt loads, I still like, and I like more cash, and I like real estate. And I've been pushing those for the past 5 years, and then stocks. And we've always stayed away from bonds. And the reason why is because they're down as much as 12, 13, 15% if you're in some of the riskier positions. And that may just be the first half. Shane, I think, has probably got some reasons to say why it's more than just the first half, but I will say, know that we are in a correction, and the liquid markets, the things that price daily, every second, we know the price of it. Those things are adjusting the most. The emotion of the reality is really what we're talking about. The response to the reality is people are selling this and choosing to buy that. It's at a fevered pitch right now, and you can affect that immediately with your stock portfolio, but with your land, well, that's a slower process. Right now, the valuations still say real estate is worth everything that you got. And then in terms of purchasing power, we're watching cash get eroded pretty well, too. We have quite a show, so I'm happy to be here, and we have a ton to talk about.
All right. Shane, what do you think?
Well, real estate is the last bastion of the middle class in the United States. So if you can now, don't let wait, refinance, and go for 30 years. Because it's going to get ugly over the next 5 to 10 years with the bond market, interest rates, and inflation. We're in a recession. The FANG is dead. Facebook, Alphabet, Amazon, Netflix, Google. Boy, they're the most dispersed, largest cap, meaning they have the most shares out of a sector. They're held worldwide, and it's my belief the Russians and the Chinese have been pounding this market and driving the market down purposefully. The flight to gold is over. It's a flight to Bitcoin and other, type currencies like that, because that seems to be the only safe venue with a level of leverage that you won't get with gold. And equities, and unless you have a stock that's paying a dividend and you paid far less than what you're looking at now, You want to hold it. If you have a stock that's got a 50% profit or more, dump it, because you want to be in cash for the great bond summer of 2022, when the face value of U.S. debt bonds will probably be in the range of $35 to $50. By the way, Meta, if you watched the last couple of days, got banged. Yeah, they had some good numbers, not good enough to hold the run-up it had after the numbers yesterday. It's back down again. You'll be able to buy all the Facebook you want, which is now 4 months running, I'm saying, at $125.
There you go. Well, guys, a lot of things are happening here. As we said, we're looking at a recession. The last 10 recessions have always been preceded by energy prices, high energy, and food costs. And that's what we're experiencing right now. We're looking at oil. We're looking at inflation. We're looking at the border. We're looking at COVID. We're looking at supply chains. China's got some port issues going on with them that's going to affect stuff at the markets. And so I don't know, Mike, we've got all these things piled on top of us. We can't find workers to work anywhere. I don't know. What are we looking at here? Well, let's now an election.
Back. Let's roll things back to a year ago, right? So a year ago was spring of 2021. And we'd seen asset prices increase steadily for the past 5 years. And we're saying, I wonder how long this is going to continue for. It doesn't seem normal, does it? What should we do? But if things go poorly, you know, if people come back to their typical valuations, we weren't saying that we were going to expect a fallout from the foundation of the financial system the way we saw in 08, 09, because the banks are well capitalized, because the consumer has low debt, because the consumer has positive cash flow and is spending too. So we told ourselves it was okay to stay invested in the market. What we didn't say is watch out for inflation, actually proactively adjusting interest rates for us before the Fed even gets to it. And so that's really where the surprise comes from. If you remember, it's always complicated stuff in the fixed income markets, but there's the base level of lending that the government sets, and then everything else trades with a premium above it, both in terms of risk and in terms of time. So we're in a situation now where the markets moved things ahead of the Fed because they say, as Shane says, the Fed's just going to keep raising rates until they pull back demand, until things become too expensive to do, too expensive to buy a house, too expensive to grow your business, whatever you want to point to, you will be more prudent and slow in your financial expenditures. And that'll slow the market, because right now we've been experiencing demand so much higher than supply. Well, it's not just supply coming up to meet it. That's what I talked about in my newsletter, is that it's obvious you can't just keep increasing consumption indefinitely. This needs to have a day of reckoning. I don't think it's going to be much worse than we get right in here. I know that's going to be a bit controversial, but it's fun to take the other side. Here's why. Two reasons. One is consumer is healthy. Consumer has cash. Sure, there's more at the gas pump. Sure, there's lower income people that haven't participated, but the amount of wealth in the system is tremendous. Second thing is, I do think that we're going to see real estate stay with strong legs. It's going to correct, but not as far as the stock market, because it's got the real inflation fighting value. That's going to make consumers again feel healthy. And so I'm a consumer-based economist. Thanks, Tom.
Well, you know, here in Bozeman, Mike, real estate here has gone off the tracks. Million-dollar homes, that's our median. In the county and in the city. Over in Belgrade, it's about 8 miles away. It's about half that. It's more like 900 rather than a million. But
prices have tripled, basically, since the bottom here. Tripled.
My turn. Okay, a year ago today, the doughheads on financial markets, TV, radio, and everything were saying, oh, is it a V-shaped recovery from COVID, down, straight up? Is it going to be an L or a U? Well, the bottom line is the Fed dumped on everyone. They should have pulled the trigger a year ago, started raising interest rates. Wouldn't have mattered what the market was going to do, because it was already overpriced. For 50 years, all these financial analysts were saying a good value on any stock is 16 times earnings. And a year ago, these stocks were, all these stocks were trading in the 30, 40, 50 times earnings, new stocks, old stocks, every stock. If the Fed had pulled the trigger, started raising interest rates, the market would have bled off, real estate would have calmed down, and you wouldn't be in a recession heading to a depression. Why do I say a depression? Because if your government pulls the trigger on another $1 trillion bill, that's where you're headed by September. But in the meantime, Mike's going to make a fortune in the bond market of 2022. It'll be remembered for 40 years. And anyone in anyone 20 to 45, call Mike. Get ready with cash. Set up your retirement funds if you don't have one. Get ready to buy bonds at $35 to $50 face value with a double-digit 10, 12, 15% interest rate, because that's where we're headed.
All right. Mike, what do you think? Good advice?
No.
Well, wait, one more comment. I've seen this five times since 1972. Two important factors. Every recession, because they don't call them depressions anymore, because they manage the market instead of regulate it. But two important things. It's always caused by something different, and it's always worse than the one before. So you think 2008 was bad? Hold on, because this is going to be one tailwind for your ship.
Okay. What do you think, Mike?
I just think, Shane said it himself, this has happened five times. Well, if it's happened five times before, the plan that you're supposed to do is the exact same plan that you're supposed to do for the previous five times, which is don't change lanes on icy roads.
Yeah.
Go to work, be happy you got a stable, good income. Put away money for retirement and a balanced portfolio. You're buying some stuff on sale right now, and keep plenty of cash. It is a time where, risk off for sure. And Shane has a point that there's going to be opportunities coming for asset purchases that might make sense to hoard cash right now. Like if you could get a CD that paid 5%. Wow. Now, implied in that is that you need to be keeping up with inflation too. So there's a whole different set of host of problems that happen. And yes, we're going to have some ebullience this. What's interesting to me is, as a money manager, I'm supposed to be doing something, right? I find that doing something sometimes creates a secondary problem, which is that I need to do something else, which means if I'm going to get into a trade right now, such as a commodity-based trade, which is a legitimately good idea, I think, right now. The question is how much moving bonds into commodity-based things to get that inflation protection. Sure, you missed the boat a bit, but now it's a proven concept, basically. It's not a gold, as Shane alluded to, that doesn't seem to be working. Making that move right now, it's never wholesale. Little bits.
All right. Okay.
I disagree. By summertime, equities will be like going to the dollar store. So enjoy the ride, because it'll be cheaper than Walmart. It'll be cheaper than Home Depot. Yeah, now, I'm not talking about the stocks. I'm just saying as an analogy. Look, the bottom line here is you have a bear market. It's a bear short swing market. The only leverage out there are puts and calls. Anyone doing it are writing their own puts and calls on stock they're holding because they don't want to sell it because they think it's going to go back. It ain't. And so cash is king. Hold your cash. Get ready. And then spring on Mike. Mike, what's your phone number? Give him your phone number. Mike, give him your phone number. I want your phone number, Mike.
It'll be in the description below.
Yeah, sure.
We're not into pressure sales, said McCormick Financial Advisor.
You aren't. I am, because you're the money man, buddy. You're the money man.
So structured products are getting a heavy look these days, and a structured product is something that benefits from higher interest rates. Is a way to protect your investments. It involves option strategies that are managed for you, which I find value in because it's a complicated thing. A lot of levers on that. We could do a whole show based upon options sometime.
Yeah, that would work. So let's move over to Twitter, because I know this is hard to see, but I put it up here anyway. Facebook is at the top. These are the social media platforms. The very bottom one is Twitter. So it kind of gives you an idea of where Twitter ranks with all these others, with YouTube and Google and everybody else that that does this. So
is that users on the right?
That's a number of users, right? 2 billion on 2 billion on Facebook at the top.
That is fascinating, Tom. I like that graphic.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty good. I apologize. It's really hard to see because there's so many of them, and to get Twitter in there, you got to get them all. But when it comes to Musk, we want to talk a little bit about that too, because right now he owes 13 billion in bank loans, 12.5 billion in loans against his Tesla stock, and 21 billion in cash to buy Twitter. So his credit card is getting kind of full. I mean, he's
but,
well, yeah, come on, he's rich on paper, but he's not rich in cash. All right,
this guy's the Da Vinci of the 21st century. I'm sick and tired of hearing these people call him a racist and, oh, he's got too many companies to run. He's been running companies for 30 years and done incredibly well, making hundreds, if not billions of dollars doing it. The man's brilliant. The only mistake Musk has made is that in the last year, he didn't split his stock 10 to 20 to 1, because if he did, he'd be another Dell who made more millionaires. If you bought 10 grand of Dell, you made $1 million, and he's right there. So, I'm all in with Musk, because he'll have more innovation, more ideas, and more imagination in the next 30 years of his life than most of mankind.
All right. Madeline says, moving a little money. I'm too old to take too many chances. Me too, Shane and Mike.
I didn't say move money. I said go to cash, get ready.
It's Madeline's thought.
I that's what I'm saying, Madeline, don't worry about it. Just save cash, because by the summertime on a fixed income a portfolio, you'll just be able to buy bonds cheaper at double digits interest. That's all. You'll be okay. Just wait.
Okay, so we're not going to speculate what Musk is going to do with Twitter because we don't know, and it's silly.
Sure, we do. You know,
no, we don't. No, we don't. We're stupid to even speculate on what's going to happen with that. It's not even done yet. It's not a done deal. Hadn't been officially signed.
If there's any attempt by your government to go after Musk about Twitter and to prevent this from going through, a $42 billion deal, one of the largest of all time, by an individual, that will create havoc in the market. It'll be worse than the Fed raising interest rates. I'm telling you right now.
There's no reason for the government to go after.
Oh, no, no, they're all threatening. All the dough heads on TV are saying the SEC.
Well, that's why they're dough heads. That's why they're not here with us.
And I'm saying, if they do that, Thomas, if anybody goes after Musk, after this is, Russia, Russia, Russia all over again,
They're not. They're not going anywhere. So, Mike, what do you think on this?
I like the optimism that I'm hearing from Shane. It was such a gloomy story up until now.
I know. You've
got a chosen boy that's worth more than he's worth. And I'm not disagreeing with him. I think it's really just an example of there are bright spots in this economy. Whether you are into the new technology related to sustainability, which has a large following to it and will probably gain some traction even throughout all of our energy hiccups, or if you're into healthcare, better drugs, better technologies related to monitoring things inside of us, there's so many great stories out there. And whether you say, okay, well, we have a pandemic economy or we don't have a pandemic economy, or we have a non-global economy, we're moving to where trade is going to be limited to, you're going to have clubs, Well, Costco's a club. They seem to make it work just fine. Maybe it'll be not as bad as it sounds in that regard too. So the future has opportunities for solutions. And the problems we're having with supply chains right now, for example, over time, good business leaders, free market capitalism, there'll be solutions that address these problems. So I think that optimism in Musk can be carried over to lots of different ideas about the future of our economy that I think is still bright. I think that standard of living is still going up. And I think the S&P 500 is going to end the year higher than where it started. Not very much, but I think it will be higher.
Yeah. Mike, I want to bring up ETFs, exchange traded funds. That's a group of stocks that are in a basket and you trade them as a single stock for the benefit of.
Correct. And so a perfect example of this is, you can own a basket of communications companies that will get you exposure to you'll get exposure to Facebook and all the other communication services related companies, including Twitter, also including things like Verizon to water it down. So as Facebook suffers, you know, in that index, it will rebalance to true market cap ratios. And so you'll end up holding less and it'll go and buy something that might be doing better, like a Verizon or something. Yeah.
Would an ETF in this work, Mike, do you think would, because social media is not going away, you know, any more than healthcare is going away or energy is going away or any of the other ETFs.
Tesla's a great example of this too, because it was included at some point, it got added to the index, meaning it was a big enough company. And so if you owned the index, you didn't have to do anything. It just showed up in your basket. And as it grew, its proportion grew in your basket too. So yeah, there's a time lag. It's not ideal. There, you can trade more effectively in front of it if that's your strategy. But when you're just an average Joe that doesn't know much, it's definitely the great way to go these days. And it's kind of like what fat skis. It's not a trend anymore.
Yeah, it's sort of like Unilever buying a Ben & Jerry's and SlimFast on the same day. You've got to cover all your bases.
It's the way that safe money grows.
That's amen to that. So
I'm going to write that down. That's a good saying.
Yeah, there you go. Good deal. Well, I don't know. As I say, no one knows the outcome of this must thing, you know, who stays, who goes, does the platform change? And if so, how much and in what ways? You know, we can speculate all day long, but it's kind of a exercise in futility.
Can you bring up that proportion chart again here, Tom?
Sure. Yeah, I can.
So where does LinkedIn come in here? Is that on there?
I don't know that. I'm not sure LinkedIn is, they may be below Twitter.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're more business oriented.
You know, that's why I brought that up is because, you know, to some degree, Twitter is also a niche product. You know,
if it is
in, pop culture, politics, you know, stuff like that, it's a great resource. If you're, you know, interested in business research, it's not such a great a resource for me, you know.
Yeah,
810 million is what they say on their website right there.
Yeah, well, the thing about Twitter is that the news media uses it to find out what the movers and shakers supposedly are thinking and saying. Sure. And they've only got 280 characters to say it, so it makes an ideal soundbite for news.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn's shown to be four times larger than Twitter.
I believe that. Yeah,
you got to say, who cares about this Elon Musk thing? I'm a fan. I like. Yeah. He mentioned an open source algorithm to show you your feed. I thought that was really a neat idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, as a way to ensure public safety in terms of, you know, I've got my girls are older now, but they're on TikTok, and so that algorithm is feeding them stimulus that I don't have a control or knowledge as to what its intention is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm reminded of a guy named Murdoch that made a fortune with newspapers in Australia, decided to come to America, become an American citizen, and, you know, 30 years ago started buying up radio and other communications, small newspapers, regional newspapers in the U.S., and then all of a sudden, what, 25 years ago, boom, he decides to compete with CNN and starts a television network with the purchase of 21 networks that he had to get approved by the FCC, the SEC, the, you know, the Justice Department, and look where it is today. So don't sell light. Somebody from South Africa who left at 17, went to school here, was successful before he was 21, worth, you know, $500 million with his ability to create and sell companies and move from there. So, you know, basically, you know, Musk is the Murdoch of the 21st century. He's the Da Vinci of the 15th century. And that guy that, you know, started GE, the 19th century. So, well, boy, that's a trifecta.
Yeah. Well, nobody's debating that Tesla's not a smart guy or successful. And I don't have a problem with him being in charge of anything. You know, if he wanted to buy Facebook, I don't have a problem him being in charge of that. But Facebook's, I think that,
Facebook's in deep trouble. If you look at their numbers, I went over them for the last 24 hours because the Doe heads made such a big deal of it. The stock after stock market, it jumped, and now it's back under 200, I think, again, last time I checked. And, you know, they don't have revenues. And they already predict in the numbers they released that the second quarter are numbers aren't going to be good on revenue. So the only benefit that Facebook has is its gigantic lead in the followers around the world. But again, think in terms of this, okay? What does Elon Musk have that Facebook doesn't? It's got a ring of satellites around the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, you make Twitter, free and accessible to the world. Boy, you can make a challenge to Facebook real quick.
Well, maybe so. So,
or you could wait for the FCC to, you know, open up the proprietary monopolistic resource so that you could just ride their lightning.
That's what they're doing. Good call. There's that Money Mike. He got it, baby. You're right.
You know, it is fascinating watching repricing. That's the term that we use in the business for you have less money than you did before. Asset repricing is hitting Facebook particularly hard, for sure. And I think with reason, in big regard. It is, curiously, it's back 2 years in valuation. So I like to use that metric because 2 years ago, you're feeling pretty happy with the gains that you made on Facebook. Now, you know, 2 years of nothing happening isn't a great story either. But when we're talking about emotional investing, you can't just put it all on Facebook. Apple is a great example is because they didn't, as far as I know, they haven't developed much in the way of new technology. They just present it better. They haven't come out with a car and they haven't come out with a great solution in a lot of things because I think they're just waiting for other people to do a better job and then they'll take it. So I do watch Apple in regard to the fangs. Mm-hmm. I do think that the stickiness that people that use Google or have all their information on Facebook is not to be devalued. Their ability to mine it has been hampered by regulation, but not ended.
Say that. Well, Apple and Amazon. Hang on, Gene. Apple and Amazon are going to report this afternoon, so that will be something to watch. Go ahead, Gene.
What's remarkable, and again, you know, this is not historic because I've seen it before, but you know, Facebook went from a PE ratio of over 35 in 60 days. To 14.4, and it's still not a buy at 14 times earnings. There you go, Mike.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's based on...
All of them are that way. You know, I mean, look, right. The so bank... The
expectations are of revenue declines continuing. You know, they'll figure... They got people there to figure out how to make money on advertising.
Yeah.
That's their job.
Oh, yeah. They should.
These things don't go in a straight line. You know, I think that what am I worried about, right? Like, what am I really worried about? And as I said in my newsletter, I'd be worried if all this stuff were happening and the market was behaving like it did last year. You know, that would be more of a concern. The fact that we're having liquid, quick price adjustments based upon all the uncertainty out there, that's normal. The idea that our conflict in Ukraine isn't going to have a bigger impact on real things that matter to us in our economy, in our local economy. And the same goes for the situation with a lockdown in Shanghai. And the same thing goes for the inflation concept. I mean, what we're seeing now is we're seeing wage inflation, and wage inflation is inevitable, but that just ends up bringing us back to right where we were. So the Fed, I think I should respond to this concept about did the Fed get it wrong? I think that their plan was always all along to not do anything until the market showed inflation. I think that was just simply the thing was, they would have taken so much heat if they would have put the brakes on before anything happened in the market, that they say, you know, we think that we can raise interest rates and squash any inflation. The transitory thing, that was wrong. And maybe they knew that was a gamble and they were just trying to propaganda because it's purely an auction. It's purely an emotional thing where we are right now in terms of interest rates based upon, you know, what we think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, being wrong and about not pulling the trigger sooner is bad policy. Look, every major bank, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Every one of them now have a PE ratio of less than 10. Less than 10. These were trading in the 20s two months ago. And, you know, the Fed got it wrong. Now, I will guarantee almost, I think I've seen this before, so I'll say it again. I mean, I've seen the Fed do this before. By June or July, they'll have raised the interest, the bank, you know, the Fed rate to double digits. And then they're going to announce, oh, the $12 trillion balance sheet we had, but we talked about selling off U.S. debt and, you know, mortgage-backed securities. We're not going to start doing that. Yeah, because, you know, they don't want to flood the market with, you know, paper that no one's going to buy. So you can expect that, and which is another reason why this is going to be the bond summer of 50 years, boy. It's good. Wow, it's going to be great.
I'm just not sure why people are stepping up to the 10-year more with the rate it's gone up in the past, 4 months?
Well, you know, Tom, you got to look at the whole curve in that regard, which I'm not able to share with you guys, but I don't want to try it. I think I might blow things up. But when you look at those curves, things don't look so bad. When I look at gasoline adjusted for inflation, it shows that we should be, a $3.30 tank of gas would be an inflation adjusted equal price to where it was in 1978, all the way through 2002. So some of this is just growing pains that we're catching up with, a little bit of reckoning, and we're not seeing the liquidity hitting things like, we're not seeing the quick changes reflection in things like real estate yet. And that's really where I think, as a local community, we're hyper-focused on. If somebody can't sell their home in the Baltimore suburbs for $1.5 million, they can't come here and buy their $1 million house for cash as their retirement house. You know, that's how things slow down for us.
That's the problem.
And there's three important things I want to make clear, because this is forever what we're talking about today as far as keeping the video, which we do. The Fed rate raised by the Fed, rule number one, as the Fed rate climbs, the price of bonds drop. We've known that for 70 years. Number two, the interest rate that you see that banks set has only a relationship to the Fed rate, because it allows them to push their interest rate higher to charge people. And that rate is created by the market. So existing U.S. debt trading on the market, which is the largest in the world, the debt market is the largest market in the world. The interest rate you're seeing going up is because the value of that debt is dropping. And so that's the one thing the market and the Fed have in common. Fed rate goes up, bonds drop. Market interest rates go up because of the market, bonds drop. This has not changed in 100 years. So this is not super market science.
No, it's math. You know, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right, guys, I think we may have covered this pretty well this morning. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. This is great. I'll put Mike's contact information in the description below. So if you want to contact Mike for any financial advice, he'd be happy to help you out, I'm sure. So,
thanks so much for having me, guys. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, Shane.
Hey, always a pleasure, Money Mike. You get it ready, baby. You're going to make it this summer. It'll be the best summer you had, buddy, for bonds.
There you go. All right. Thanks for watching, everyone. Hey, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, and leave a comment. We get a lot of help when you do things like that. And we'll see you on the next podcast, which will be, I've got to remind you, we're on radio on Saturday. Look at the crawl, Tom and Shane live on radio. We're there every Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. So get over there and listen to us on the radio. And that'll do it for us, guys. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you next podcast.